Today's shiur is Le'ilui Nishmas, Rebbetzin Reisel, Bas Shmuel, learner. Her levaya was just last week. She lived a full life of 97 years, and she had a husband and a daughter before the war who were nifter, and she wasn't zeichet to have children after the war, but somehow she maintained her simchas achayim, and she was beloved by her nephews and their families. It should be today we're up to Perek Tes, Shmuel Aleph Perek Tes. I had a dilemma. I started off initially planning to do the whole Perek. Most weeks we learn a whole Perek. And there were so many different things that really require further elaboration. I decided we'll split this Perek up and we'll do half of the Perek this week because there's a lot to study. We learned last week, Klal Yisrael asked for a king, and Shmuel it was bad in his eyes, and then he davened to Hashem, and Hashem told to give them a king. Interestingly, the Ralbag, every few prokim, the Ralbag sums up all the lessons that can be learned from what was learned till now. And the Ralbag, later on, when he sums up the lesson from there, he mentions the lesson is, first of all, sometimes you can tell somebody has a plan of action and it's going to hurt him. It's really to his detriment. And if a person is, and the proper thing is it should bother a person and you should try to stop him from doing the wrong thing. On the other hand, sometimes whatever you endeavor, it's not going to work. He's determined and he's definitely going to go on his path. In that case, you sort of have to go along with him because you can't stop him. But if you care about him, you'll try to at least work things out in the best possible way. Here, Klal Yisrael wanted a king. It's like sometimes a person has a child and he wants to do something in life that it can affect him for decades. It can affect his whole life. And it's really not good for him. And you should try to correct him and put him on the right path. And sometimes whatever you say isn't going to help. He's definitely going to do that. But you see, from Shmuel, Klal Yisrael wanted a king. He knew it was not good for them. But if they wanted a king, at least he'll see to get them the best person. It was a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the message from Hashem is, if they want a king, we'll give them a king. But the king chosen is we'll see, was the best. If that's the course of action that they want, they give him the best king possible. And we'll see why in a moment, why Shaul is the man of the hour. He's the best candidate. Vayhi ish mi binyamin. There was a man from Binyamin. The ksiv is written as two separate words, Mibin Yamin. Because Binyamin reminds us his name was given Binyamin after his mother called him Ben Oni, the son of her mourning and the suffering. She died when she gave birth to Binyamin. And she foresaw what was going to happen with Binyamin, the incident of Pilegish Begiva, which is discussed in Shoftim, where they acted improperly and many, many of Binyamin were killed. She called him Benoni, so Yaakov switched the name to Binyamin. Here the ksiv is Mibin Yamin. Don't think of the Benoni, but the Binyamin. He's like the right-hand man, like a son of the right. Mibin Yamin. Of course, we read it, the Kri is Mibin Yamin as one word. But it's to signify that Binyamin, he was Binyamin at their optimum, not as a Bidiyevit, a Benoni who somehow switched to be good, but this is Bin Yamin, like a right-hand man, like the tribe that was prominent. There was a man from Binyamin, Ushmo Kish, and his name was Kish, Ben Aviel, Ben Suror, Ben Bechoras, Ben Afiach, Ben Ish Yamini, and the whole Yichus, his whole genealogy went back to Binyamin. He was a Binyamin through and through. Gibor Choyel. And he was a man of valor. He was a prominent person. Very often it means he was a valiant fighter for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had their wars. Gibor Choyel, a man of courage, a person who did, who accomplished. Very often when there's a list of names, we know if one of them is a tzaddik and you don't know anything about their ancestors, the Gemara says in Megillah, you can assume that the ancestors were also tzaddikim. If one's a Navi and it mentions his father and his grandfather, you assume they're all Naviim. Here a lesson learnt out First of all, we haven't even mentioned who's going to be the king. We start off with Kish. You should know his father, the father of the king, was Kish. Kish was a Gibor Chayil. He was a man of valor. He was an exceptional person. In Divrei Hayomim, his name is also mentioned. And over there it says in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Ches, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, V'ner Holiness Kish. It says Kish's father was Ner. Here it says he was Aviel. It says Kish was Ben Aviel. There it calls him Ner. Chazal learned out that his real name was Aviel, like it says in Shmuel. But he was called Ben Ner. His father was called Ner because his father had a special mitzvah. Now we take it for granted. You have street lights. You walk out at night. There's no problem. In those days, obviously, at night it was pitch black. You couldn't see. His mitzvah was, he used to light candles along the way, along the streets, especially the streets that went to the Beis Medrash, so that people would be able to walk out at night and they'd see their way and find their way to the Beis Medrash. His concern for the Tzibur, because he was concerned about the Tzibur, that was why he was zeicha to have a grandson who would become the king and would become the manig of Klal Yisrael. What's significant is that there's so many different mitzvahs and so many different opportunities a person has. But the hergish, the thought, the fact that a person has a concern and he thinks of a new idea and he carries it out, you find throughout that it's a tremendous sechus. The Gemara, for example, has a mice in Tainus in the third perek. There was Rav Huna used to go on Erev Shabbos, and he used to buy all the vegetables that were left over in the market. And he used to take the leftover vegetables and throw them away in the river. And the Gemara says, why do you do that? So the Gemara explains, he bought the leftover vegetables because if there'd be anything left over, and obviously it would get spoiled, nobody's buying vegetables on Shabbos. Whatever would get spoiled next week, the grocers would buy less vegetables. And there's supply and demand if there's left over. So you don't want to have such a great supply, so you cut down. He didn't want it to be that one week somebody's going to come to buy his yarukka, the vegetables, and there's not going to be any available. Because every week they were cutting down because there's wasted. So Gemara says, why didn't he give it to the poor people? Figured if he gives the leftover vegetables to the poor people, they're going to count on it. And this was the type of thing where it's hard to know what's going to be left over. He didn't want them counting on it. So anyway, he used to throw them away in the river. But the point was, Rav Huna, the Gemara says about Rav Huna, one of the greatest Amoraim, his thought was like, how could he be sure that people will have for Shabbos? And, but you find people sort of thought outside the box for their mitzvah that the others weren't involved in. So Kish had a father, Aviel, who was Ner, and his mitzvah was he used to light the candles so that people would be able to go to the Beis Medrash. It's reminiscent, there's a lot of mices, they say, with tzaddikim, along those lines. I don't know if it was Moshe Leib Sasever, he used to put on his weekday clothing, Motzei Shabbos, secretly, and go to cut wood in the forest and bring it to an almona. She didn't know who was dropping off his firewood, she should have wood for the winter. Or Chaim Volozhiner used to put on big boots on a snowy day and walk back and forth and press down the snow so that people could get to the yeshiva through the snow drifts. But this was Ner's mitzvah. His idea that people should have light on the way to the Beis Medrash, and that's why he became the grandfather of the next king. And his son was Kish, and Kish was the Gibor Chayil. V'lo hayabein. And he had a son. Ushmo Shol, and his name was Shol, Bochur Vatov. He was exceptional, and he was good. And that's a very unusual title used. In other words, you find certain tzaddikim are called in Tanakh Ish Yoshar, Yirei Elokim, Vesor Meira, a tzaddik. But here, he was Bochur Vatov, he was exceptional, and he was good. That's an unusual title. You don't find that mentioned by others. Ve'ein Ish mi b'nei Yisrael tov mimenu. There was no person in Klal Yisrael better than him. Mishichmo v'mala, from shoulders and up. Gavoa mikolham. He was higher than everyone. Head and shoulders above the crowd. This is where the phrase comes from. It was Shechmo v'mala gavoya mikol ha'am. In these two psukim, the Mefarshim see four reasons why Shaul was the one to be the king. And these two psukim, four reasons. The first thing was, he had it in his genes. His father and his grandfather, the Zichas, he was, they, you know, and the Barbanel gives that example. He says, from a good horse, you can produce, you know, a winner. You know, if you're into horse trading, you got to study the horse's pedigree. But I wouldn't say that he uses that expression. He says, from a sus meshubach, you get a good horse. So if somebody has a father like Kish and a grandfather like Aviel, and people who were worried about the tzibur, and people who were tzaddikim, and they were courageous, and they did for Klal Yisrael, he had it in him, the ability, the latent ability, that hopefully he would bring out as the good king. First of all. The second reason was Ushmo Shaul. His name was Shaul. They're going to say, what's in a name? What do you mean his name was Shaul? So what? The answer is every name, it says when a father gives a name at a bris or a kiddush, when a father gives a name, there's some type of ruach hakodesh, whatever, that's the name that should be given. And he doesn't even realize why he's giving the name or what powers are in the name. But a name of Lashon HaKodesh is not just a general word, you know, we'll call this whatever we want to call it. The name is actually its essence. To give you an example, the name for a dog in Lashon HaKodesh is Kelev. A Kelev is not just called that because, you know, I have to give it a name. I'll call a cat a Kelev. I can't call a cat a Kelev because a cat isn't that. If I were to ask you the trait of a dog, people talk about what's the outstanding trait of a dog? Loyalty. That's right. I'm glad you said the right answer. If you would have said something else, I would have been lost. Loyalty. I'll say a dog is man's best friend. The word kelev is kilev, like a heart. Kilev, like the heart. A dog has that trait. And it's known that. So there's no way you could give that name to a different creature. That's the dog. That's a caliph. So every animal, everything in Lashon HaKodesh, the name is what it is. Now, if you wanted to, for instance, if I wanted to identify somebody, and I would think, you know, he's middle-aged, and he lives in Borough Park, and he has two children, and he's a computer programmer, and I'll start giving you all descriptions. As I give you more and more details, you can figure out who I'm talking about. But if I tell you Reuven ben Shimon, and I give you his exact name, so now you know who it is. In other words, you can beat around the bush, and you can give his essence. Shaul's name was Shaul. Shaul means it was borrowed. This is a concept we'll talk about more other weeks, because it keeps on coming back with Shaul. The Abarbanel mentioned on the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, Lo Yosir Shevet Mi Yehuda, that Malchus will never leave the Shevet of Yehuda, that kings had to come from Yehuda. And once the first king, David HaMelech, was chosen, there would always be kings from Yehuda. There might be other kings, and sometimes when we don't have the king, but there would be nobody else who would take that role of king. Kings remain by Yehuda. So the truth is Shaul, when you learn through about Shaul, you should know he's sort of fighting with his hands tied behind his back. Because as good as he could be, there's no way the Ramban learns that he could have had the exclusive Malchus forever. He was destined to lose it because he's from Binyamin. So as good as he is, he's just not going to have it forever. Shaul's name means borrowed. Meaning his essence was somebody who could fill that role of borrowing royalty. He was the one who would have it in the interim. And obviously it's clear from the Pesukim, if he would not have made whatever mistakes he made, it would have continued perhaps over a shevet or two, in a limited role. Maybe he would be a king who would be subordinate to David. In other words, it's clear from the Pesukim he would have had some type of malchus if things had gone as they could have. On the other hand, he never could have been the supreme king of Klal Yisrael for generations. It had to go to Yehuda. But the second reason he was chosen was Ushmo Shaul, his name was Shaul, his essence was he was fit to play the role. He was Bachur V'Tov, he was exceptional and he was good. And that's a unique title because it also means, Bachur means he was young. Bachur is the term used for somebody in his prime of life, a young, young person, perhaps even before the prime, before he's, I think, l'chassam sofer, you say, a bocher, somebody, that comes from the word chosen. Because after a person gets married, you're sort of locked into, a certain extent, you're locked into your mode of life. A guy can't wake up one day and decide, you know, he wants to be a camel driver, he wants to change his professions, he's going to be away from the home for months or whatever. No, as if he married his wife and his wife knew what he is, before he makes a drastic change, he has to discuss that. He's sort of locked into a certain extent in his form of life. A bocher is somebody who has everything open in front of him, and he's choosing his life. He's not dependent, he's not, others aren't counting on him yet to support them or to rely on them. He's a bocher, he's free to choose which way he wants. It's a very special time in life. But bocher means somebody who's young. Now here it's given, as we know, Shaul was married and Shaul had a family. But he had that essence of bocher, that even when he was young, even when he was a stage of being a bocher, which also means somebody in the, with all of the taivas and the yetzaharas, where his blood's boiling as a bocher, and yet, v'toiv, he was good. He was somebody who was able to control his yetzahara. Ve'ein ish mi b'nei Yisrael tov mimenu. And there was no adult, none of the ish. As I say, he was an ish, but from the time that he was a bocher, v'toiv, that's the way he always was. That he was at the point when he was at the stage of a bocher, he was good, and there was no ish that was better than him. Meaning very often when a person's sort of older, the Yetzihar is not such a difficulty. The Gemara says in Pesachim, I think it's on Kuf Yud Gimel, the Gemara says three things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims every day the greatness of three people. One of them is a bocher who lives in the city. And that was in those days when the city is not what it is now. But a guy who was able to be at that youthful stage and act properly with Yirah Shamayim, that's a tremendous accomplishment. And on the other hand, the same Gemara on Amud Beis mentions a few things that people can't tolerate. One of them is, for example, somebody who's poor and yet he's haughty. In other words, he acts like he's the greatest when everybody knows he's not. You know, somebody's the greatest and he pretends he is, so, okay, you know, it's at least he can understand it. But if somebody's not, and another example is if you have Zokin, somebody who's old, and he's still caught up in the all the taivas, like he's young, you know, in other words, he's past that stage in life. You know, you can understand it, at least, you know, when he's young. But Shaul was bocher v'toiv. He was at that stage of life where he was bocher and he was good. And he was good with Hashem, he was good with people, and there was no ish that was mibnei Yisrael tov mimenu. Nobody was better than him. So his personal qualities gave him that power to be the king. Mishichmo v'mala gavo mikol ha'om. And from his shoulders and up, he was higher than everyone. He looked like a king. A king has to be somebody who commands people's respect. They have to have an awe for the king. So he had the imposing features. He physically looked like he was higher than everyone. He looked like a king. He's made for power. It can also be taken to Shichmo Vamal in a ruchnius sense. He was, his greatness was way above everyone else. That was Shaul. Another thing we're going to see later on, which is, it comes out a little bit in this parak, and we'll see it constantly. Shaul had a very unique challenge. He was chosen for king because he was so good. And yet, as a king, he was expected to sort of act against his nature. In other words, we're going to see later on his anivus. He was a very humble person. Yet, as a king, you can't be humble. We had in yesterday's Haftorah. As a king, you can't say you're afraid of the people, you listen to the people. A king has to be the one to set the tone and to be, demand his the authority and the power that's coming to him, the honor. So Shaul was the best. The Gemara discusses it it's in Gittin on Daf Nun Tes. The Gemara says from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, there was never somebody who personified in one person Torah and Gedula. That he was the Gadol Hador, he was the greatest in Torah, and he was also the greatest in the leader of the people, the king. And the Gemara says, what about Shaul? The Gemara answers, Shmuel was still alive. In other words, most of Shaul's time, Shmuel was alive. But you see, from the Gemara, Shaul in Torah was one of the greatest. So Shaul was, and the pasuk is Mashmav, Ein Ish Mibnei Shaul Toiv Mimenu. There's a discussion whether that includes David. It doesn't include David. But the simple meaning is Ve'ein Ish, there was nobody better, not even David HaMelech. That at this point, at the point that he was chosen as king, he was the greatest person. Which is very interesting to note, because we'll see from the next Pesukim, he obviously never even met Shmuel. He didn't know who Shmuel was. But like, so it was like, he was already probably in his 50s. We made the Cheshbon last week. In other words, he left over, his son Ish-Boshes was 40 years old, and there were older siblings of Ish-Boshes. Shaul must have been in his 50s, and it was like an unknown. He's living with his father. We're going to see his father sends him out on a mission to go looking for donkeys. It's like, it seems like he's nothing special. And he's like one of the crowd, even though he was so great in his Torah and in his Midas and in his physical structure features, but he acted like, you know, a regular person. And yet when he was a king, he was expected to change all that and act differently. Anyways, Pasuk Gimel. The mules were lost to Kish, the father of Shaul. Normally, if you want to say somebody loses something, it would have said the asoinos were lost may Kish, from Kish. They were lost from Kish. But Chazal noticed, and the Malbim points it out, that the truth is, at the moment, he didn't know where they were. They weren't really lost. It's like you think you're missing something, and it's whatever. You left it on, you know, you left the glasses on your head, and you can't find them because you can't see. They're on your forehead. But the donkeys were lost. They weren't really lost from Kish. The donkeys were lost, Likish Avishol, and this was for Kish. You know, something was being done for Kish. His donkeys were lost, were misplaced. He didn't know where the donkeys were. Vayomer Kishol Shol Beno. So Kish said to Shaul, his son, and it keeps on stressing, Kish, the father of Shaul, Kish said to his son Shaul, Kachna itcha es achad meha na'arim. Take one of the na'arim with you, v'kum leich, and get up and go, bakesh es asonos, and go looking for the donkeys, for the mules. No, Kibudov, his father, the pasuk stresses the fact that it was a father to a son. So Shaul went. And as with many areas in Novi, there are two opposite ways of understanding what the point here is. The Ralbag takes it to mean that you see from here how a person should care about his possessions. That Kish could have sent somebody else to go looking. You know, go looking for the donkeys, get the servant of the house to go find the donkeys. You got to send Shaul. So the Ralbag says if he would have sent a servant, could be the servant would go on the trip. He'd come back a while later and say, I didn't find the donkeys. What really happened was he found the donkeys, he sold them on the black market, he pocketed the cash, and he came back and he said, the donkeys are gone. So Kish was smarter than that. If he's missing something, you don't go asking the servant to look for the diamond ring. You know, okay, you know he's going to say he didn't find it. You're missing donkeys. He sent somebody he could rely on. That's the Ralbag's take on the story. On the other hand, other Mephoshim point out the exact opposite. He could have sent a servant. And what was done in these Pesukim seems almost irrational. He's missing some mules, so he sends Shaul. So Shaul goes out with one of the lads, and he goes traveling all over the country. You know, the mules don't even walk that far. Mules are slow-moving animals, not like he lost some horses. These are mules. And Shaul goes traveling all over the world looking for these mules. It doesn't seem to make sense that he should send Shaul, and Shaul should spend 3 days looking for them all over. It was as if he was guided to become, he never would have imagined that he would become the king. He wasn't that type. He was an extreme one of. And even Klai Shaul had asked for a king, and Shmuel's out looking for a king, but Shaul is not applying for the job. So in order to get Shaul to meet Shmuel, the Ashkocha Protis required that the mules were lost, and Shaul is sent to go looking for them, and he's going to travel all over, and he's going to meet Shmuel at the exact proper moment, and he's going to be chosen to be the king. But it's done in this way, And as the Pesukim go through and the Mephoshim stress, the at points they feel like hopeless, like they're not going to find the mules, and they feel like they're wasting their time, and they're running, they ran out of food, and they have no money, and it's a rough thing. But at the greatest moment of despair, that's when his greatest moment is about to happen. It's being prepared for him to become king, but it starts out, the person who's going looking for his donkey thinks, oh, what a waste of time. He's going to look for his donkeys. But he doesn't realize he's on his way traveling to Malchus. So the Asinus were lost to Kish, and he sent his son after them. And people even point, Vakum Leich, I think it was in the Me'am Lois, points out, Vakum Leich, you have in the last letter Mem, and the next word, Melech. Now it's, obviously he didn't know what he was saying, but his words came out to as a remez, as a hint that he's destined to become a king. That's where he's traveling. But Vakum, get up, Leich, go, Bakish es Asinus, go looking for these Asinus. Vayavar Bahar Ephraim, so he traveled through Har Ephraim. Vayavar Be'eretz Shalisha, and he went through the Eretz Shalisha, which the Targum says he traveled to the south. Volomotso, and they didn't find the Asinus. And we'll see they keep on using different expressions. The Malbim points out, Vayavar is Lashon Yochid, it's in the singular. And they didn't find the Asinus. For some reason, they thought they were in Har Ephraim, they were in Eretz Shalisha, so they split up. Vayavar, as an individual, one traveled on one road, and the Nar went on the other road, and they made up to meet at a certain place, but they traveled separately. Volomotso, even though they were pretty sure the Asinus were there, but they couldn't find them. Vayavru Be'eretz Shalim, when they went through that country, they traveled together. Vayin, they themselves, they traveled together because they didn't think that the Asinus were there, but they figured they'll travel through that country on the way to the next possible destination. V'ayin, but there were no Asinus in that place. V'yavar Be'eretz Yemini V'lomotso, and then when they went through the land of Yemini, so again, they didn't find the donkeys. They split up. V'yavar, each one traveled separately. So they're traveling all over, and they can't find the Asinus. Hamabo Be'eretz Tzuf. Then they came to the land of Tzuf. And we remember way back from Perek Aleph, Tzuf and Mehar Ephraim, that was where Elkanah was from, that was where Shmuel was from. They finally came to the land of Tzuf. V'shol Omer Lenaro Asher Imo, Shol said to the lad that was with him, Lecha go, v'nashuvan, we have to turn back. Pen yechtal ovi min ha'asonos, our father will stop worrying about the donkeys. We'll stop from thinking about these mules. V'do'ag lanu, and he'll worry about us. Not only will he won't even forget about worrying about the donkeys. He won't even think of the donkeys. Chodal avi min asonos, the mules will be finished. He'll be out of his mind. His thoughts will be v'do'ag lanu. He's going to be worrying about us. At certain times, you got to cut your losses. They went looking, and that's it. At this point, it doesn't pay. Even if they will find him in another day or two, but at this point already, their father must be worrying. And you see his anivus, v'do'ag lanu, he's going to be worrying about us. He didn't say he's going to be worrying about him. He's the son. The other one is just the nar. Right? As I assume as an adult, he can fend for himself. I don't know if Kish is going to be so worried his adult servant is missing. He's okay. But he might worry about Shol, but Shol's mind is, we're one, the dog alone, he's going to worry about us. Vayomer lo, so the Nar said to Shol, Hinei no ish Elokim bo'ir hazos. There's a man of God, there's a Novi in this city. V'ho'ish nichbot, and this person is a very respectable person. Kol asher yedaber bo yovo, whatever he says will happen. Whatever he says happens. Ata Neil Hashem, now let us go there. Ula Yagid Lanu, perhaps he'll tell us the Starkeinu Asher Alachnu Aleha. He'll tell us the road that we've gone on. First of all, Voish Nichbod. There are different types of people. It's like those who know don't say, and those who say very often don't know. You have people who tell the future, and they'll tell you they have this plan, and you're missing this, and go here. They have all these forecasts and predictions. They'll tell you the future, but they don't know anything. They're not reliable. Even in those days where there was Kishef, maybe there was some, there was somewhere that they could know, but it certainly wasn't respectable to go to them. To go somewhere like that to find out what the future is going to be. On the other hand, there were tremendous tzaddikim and Talmid Chachamim and Nevi'im, but a lot of them didn't get involved in these types of mundane affairs, what's going to happen to every person and where his donkeys are or whatever. But Va'ish Nichba, the one we're talking about, Shmuel is a respectable person. And we're not going to somebody in his, you know, in his cellar somewhere where he'll do some hanky-panky and give you a prediction. We're talking about a respectable person. And not only that, whatever he says happens, and he's the person who might tell us where to go, because he did on occasion tell people what was going to happen in the future and what involved them in their personal life. So let's go there. Ulai yagid lanu, perhaps he'll tell us the path that we've gone on. Meaning, probably the donkeys are somewhere back in the past. We probably passed it miles ago. They traveled through all these countries. Perhaps they'll tell us the road that we went on, where the donkeys are. We might have passed them yesterday or the day before. It could also be that he wanted to know, what's the path that we're going on? This path must be leading somewhere. Rationally, you know, we've been doing what we've been doing, but it doesn't really make sense. We ourselves know it's almost as if we're being propelled to go on a route that doesn't make sense. We're looking out for our sinus and we're traveling all over. As I say, mules don't wander off far off. They don't walk on their own far away. Today or the day before. It could also be that he wanted to know, what's the path that we're going on? This path must be leading somewhere. Rationally, you know, we've been doing what we've been doing, but it doesn't really make sense. We ourselves know it's almost as if we're being propelled to go on a route that doesn't make sense. We're looking out for our sinus and we're traveling all over. As I say, mules don't wander off far off. They don't walk on their own far away. And they went through totally different regions. Har Ephraim and Eretz Shalisha and Eretz Shalim, and now they're in Eretz Yemini, and now they're in Eretz Tzuf, from one country to another, one district of Eretz Yisrael to another. This path must be leading somewhere. Let's go to Shmuel and perhaps he'll tell us what path we're going on. And a different pshat is, could be he was hinting, let's ask him if he can tell us which path we went on. And if he can give us our route, we'll know that he, Taka, knows the Emes and he has Ruach HaKodesh, and then we can rely on whatever he says. Because they took such a circuitous route through so many different places, he wouldn't be able to guess it if he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. Vayomer Shol Lenaro. So Shol said to his Nar, V'hinei Neilech, behold, we're going to go. Uma Novi Leish, what are we going to bring to him? What are we going to bring to the person? The bread is gone from our kalim, our bags, and there's no food left. And we don't have a gift to bring to the Isha Elohim. What do we have? The Lashon is very redundant. What should we bring? We don't have this. The Malbim explains there's two different types of presents that somebody might bring to an Isha Elohim, to this man of God. There's one present that's brought for his effort. In other words, he's putting aside whatever else he'd be doing, and he's going to spend his time now thinking where these mules are. So if you want somebody to run this lost and found service, and you want to know where your mules are, you have to at least give him something for his time. So therefore, they need something to give him for that. Also, if somebody goes to meet Shmuel HaNovi, the leader of Klal Yisrael, a Novi Lashem, you have to bring something. It was the proper protocol to bring something as a gift. Now, if it was a common person, it wasn't necessarily expected. But when a chosh of a person comes to greet him, the derech is you'd bring a present, right? Like you're going to greet a king. So Shaul said to his nar, "V'nei nelech, we're going to go. Uma novi leish? What are we going to bring to him? We don't even have bread. In other words, we have nothing in terms of giving him something for his time, or for, you know, just in general, he's spending time with us and helping us. We don't have anything to give him. We don't have like a chosh of a present to give him. We certainly don't have. Maitanu, what do we have? It's like almost throwing up his hands in despair. We have nothing. What can we do? The Ralbag says, a very interesting Ralbag. And you should know, as we go through these psukim, it seems to me, my personal take will be even clearer. It's almost as if Shmuel in those days played the role, and I'll explain myself as we go along, as, well, you say a Hasidish Rebbe, as opposed to a regular Rosh Yeshiva. And we'll see it in the Pesukim, but certainly that role, it seems, we'll see how it's explained. The Ralbag asks in general, how could it be that they thought when you come to Shmuel, you have to bring a present? Besides the fact we learned in the previous perek, Shmuel traveled all over. He took nothing for himself. He brought his house with him. Kishon Beisa, wherever he went, he took his house with him. He didn't get anything from others. So why did they think that they had to give him a present? When they come to Shmuel, they have to bring him a present. First of all, you see, Mefarshim say that obviously they didn't know Shmuel. In other words, Shmuel was far away. He didn't even know what goes on in Shmuel's household. Pashut, it seems like he assumed Shmuel must take a present. It's only expected. A chash of a person, he's helping them out. He thought that Shmuel would take a present. So he thought that Shmuel would take this present, and therefore he wanted to bring it. But the Ralbag also makes a point that Shmuel, and this is a valuable lesson, but somebody like Shmuel must have had a lot of things on his mind. He had Gans Klal Yisrael, especially now it's on his mind he has to find a king. You'd like him to focus his mind on these mules. You know, somebody once asked Rav Meir Shapiro when he came to America, he was involved with so many different, you know, projects. Of course, we know him from the Daf Yomi, and he had a yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin, and there were so many different stucca causes and so many different things on his mind. When he came to America, he delivered in the course of a year like over 300 drushes, and each one was different. In other words, he didn't repeat himself. He always said over different Chidushei Torah. So somebody was asked him how he does that. So he said his mind is like a drawer. You know, he knows when he comes to some place, he pulls out the drawer. In this place, he has to, talk about this. Now he has to think about something else, you know. But very few people have a mind, you know, a discipline like that. Shmuel, of course, did. But the assumption was that somebody like Shmuel, who so many different things are on his mind, something should be, you should give him something to remind him. You know, sometimes you give somebody a piece of paper, you know, you'll ask him to do something, and you give him a piece of paper, you know, with your name and number, so that even if he forgets it, but later on when he empties his pocket, he'll say, oh, the name and number. And remember, the idea in giving the present to the Ish Elokim is, besides when they come in, he might need to be mispoided and to think and to focus his mind, and there's just so much going on. He might not be able, at least they were afraid, he might not be able to focus or have the koichus or the desire. What they would do is they would bring a present. They'd put it down. And then, even if he couldn't give them the answer instantly, at the moment it was just too busy, but the very fact that the present's sitting there and he'd remember, oh, he got this present. Yeah, somebody's looking for the donkeys. So therefore, the Indian was, the Ralbag says, the idea was, and he compares it even with Yitzchak Avinu. He said to Esav, Havi li matamim, give me the delicious food, and then I'll give you the bracha. And of course, the tzaddikim, as he says, it's not ki'ein miderech hasholim, somebody who's a complete, an odom hasholim, a perfected person, shevakesh kmo elu hadvarim levakosha satainuk. Something like that is not out into what? Yitzchak cares, bring me delicious food. If you bring me a nice meal, I'll give you the brachas. Well, what's going on? So of course, some of Forsham learned he wanted to do something at that moment that he should feel the love and the caring for Esav, and then he would give him the bracha. And the Rabbi mentions the fact that if there's something concrete, he got something from Esav and it's there, it helps the mind focus. It's not an abstract, but it's, there's a reason why he wants to give the brachas. It's sitting on the table. As looking at him, and therefore they assumed could be that's why they wanted to bring the present to the Ish Elokim. I say that the Malba mentions the idea for his efforts, or as bringing it to a chosh of a person. Ralbag mentions the idea that somehow giving him the present would help him focus on their problem and help them out. The problem is, they didn't have anything. There was no bread, there was nothing. They weren't planning on going on a 3-day journey. They went to look for some asanas. They didn't pack their food. It's a lesson. This I didn't see elsewhere, but it seems to me evident. They're far away from home, and they ran out of food. When Shaul said, let's turn back, what's the reason they're turning back? Not because they're hungry. He's turning back because his father might be worrying about them. And again, it shows you that kibud oven. They weren't thinking about themselves at all. What's going to be with the tata? They're turning back, but they were going to turn back. By Yosef Hanar Lanus Shaul. So the Nar continues and he answers further to Shaul. By Yomer, and he says, Hine nimtza biyadi. There's found in my hand reva shekel kesef, a quarter of a shekel of silver. It's a small amount of money. A shekel, right? Now's the season for machsis a shekel. A shekel of the Torah is what's called a selah. And usually in Chazal they use the term shekel because machsis ha-shekel, a shekel was half the selah, the shekel of Chazal. This quarter of a shekel, as the Targum says, is what's called a zuz. But it's a small amount of money. And he has a reva shekel kesef. He has a small amount of money. V'nosati le'isha Elokim, and I'll give it to the Isha Elokim. V'higid lonu, and he'll tell us Estarkenu, our path. And again, the Malbim points out, he's the one with the money. And he's going to give the money, V'nosati le'isha Elokim. If you, Shaul, go to Shmuel, you're right. You're going to need a chashuva present because you're a chashuva person. But I'm just the lad. I'm the servant. I'm not expected to have... this is not a royal visit. When I come to see Shmuel, it's like a regular person coming to ask a favor. But I'm not expected to give a teshura. So I have a little bit of money. I'll give the money that it's my request. But the answer will help both of us. We'll save. I'll give the money, make the request, and we'll both get the answer we need. Test. Lefonim b'Yisrael, in previous times in Klal Yisrael, ko amar ha'ish belechto lidrosh Elokim. This is what a person would say when he was going to seek Hashem. What was the way that people talked when they were going to go to the holy person? They wanted to seek out Hashem. What would they say? They'd say lechu v'nelcha ad haroeh. Let's go together ad haroeh, to the one who sees. Ki lanovi hayom, because what's called the novi nowadays, Yikori lefonim haroe, used to be called the roe. What is this pasuk doing here? And then the pasuk goes on that they went to the Shaul said, okay, we'll go, and they met Shmuel. But this pasuk, like this introduction, what we call a novi used to be called a roe. Like, what's the difference? What he was called? And again, the Malbim, a lot of the pshatim, you should know, I see in the Malbim, and then earlier it's brought down Abarbanel, and early in the Me'am Loes. Very often one takes what the other one said. It's from different Meforshim learned the same way or borrowed ideas from previous generations. There was a different function. What we think of as a Novi. Novi comes from the word Niv Sfasayim, the movement, the wind of the lips, moving the lips. A Novi's job was to rebuke the people and to speak out. Especially when the Nevi'im, during the whole era of the kings, say starting now with Shmuel, we're going to see constantly the Nevi'im came and they would rebuke the people and correct them. And a Navi, very often you didn't want to go to the Navi, because the Navi wasn't there to give compliments and to make everybody feel good. The Navi was to help you reach perfection, and sometimes it was painful. There was a different function of Haroeh, the one who could see into the future. And he would go and he would, with Ruach HaKodesh, he would guide people and he would help them out. People would come to them with their problems. And he would help them. So right now when we think of a Novi, Kila Novi Hayom, or we think of a Novi nowadays, used to be called Haroeh. And Shmuel served that function also of Haroeh. He's referred to elsewhere in Tanakh as the Shmuel who's the Roeh. Shmuel saw into the future, and he made himself available for these types of things. People would go to Shmuel and ask him, where are the mules? They'd ask him, like somebody would go, and he would ask his tzaddik, whatever, should he do this business deal? Should he buy the house? It was a sort of that function that the roe used to have. And so people would love to go to him. And it helped them out. They used to get together. Ko Amar Ish, when he was going, Lidrosh Elokim, he was going on to have a ruchnius dikka uplift. He wanted a spiritual experience. He would say, let's go together. L'chuvin Elchad Roeh. They'd get together, a group of people, and they would go together to the Roeh. As I say, to me it just seems, you know, that type of role, especially we're going to see later on, he made a seuda, and people used to come, they used to be at his tish, or so he used to, it was just, he played the role of a roe, which was different than a navi. And therefore the nar said to Shaul, let's go to Shmuel, and perhaps he'll help us out, he'll tell us what the road is. Vayomer Shaul l'naro. So Shaul said to his nar, Tov devorcha, your word is good. You see, again, that anivus. In other words, they talk one to another like buddies, which is hard, you know, if people are buddies. Very often there's the boss and the worker, and the truth is they are basically like buddies. Just one happens to be the boss. Here, if you realize who Shaul was, it's mind-boggling that, you know, in other words, the two are, you know, Tov Devarcha, you're saying good, Lecha Neilecha, we'll go there, so we'll take your advice, and we'll travel to Shmuel. Vayelchu al Oir, they went to the city, Asher Sham Isha Elokim, where the Isha Elokim was. Hema Olim B'malei Ha'ir. They were going up on the ascent, going up to the city. Vehema Motsu Na'oros, and they found Na'oros Yotzos Lishov Moim, who had gone out, the girls had gone out to draw water. I guess it wasn't easy, because the city was obviously Haroma. It was a high place where Shmuel lived, where they were. And to draw water, they obviously went down into the valley, some of Farshim say, to draw the water. The water accumulates at the bottom. And then they had to schlep the water uphill. But anyways, they were going on the way up the city, and they found the Na'oros who had come out. They were going down. They were going to draw water. Vayomru lahen. And they said to them, Hayesh pozeh haroeh. Is the roe, the one who sees the future, is he here? Now we'll see the contrast with the way they responded. But the question was very concise. Hayesh bozeh haroe. The Gemara says in Eruvin, the Gemara says, I think it's on Nun Gimel. The Gemara says in Eruvin, a maisa that Rabbi Yossi Aglili was walking somewhere, and he met Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir. And he said to her, Be'ezu derech nelech l'lud. By which road do we travel to Lud? So she said to him, Galila Shaita, you fool! Like, you know, like a astonishingly strong language. She's speaking to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, one of the Chachamim. Or said to him, you idiot! Galila Shaita! Is that the way you speak? If you're speaking to a woman, you should have said, Be'ezu l'lud. By which to Lud? And of course the people would figure, I mean, by which road do we go to Lud? But she took him to task, because he said there was extra four, he said an extra two words. In other words, she said, Altar v'sicha imeisha, and she gave him a whole musa shmuz. But if you notice the way Shaul and his nar spoke to him, Hayesh bozeh haroeh, is the roeh here? So yes, no answer, right? That should be very easy to answer. But Pasuk Yud Beis, we'll just read through it, Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, just to get a picture of it, and then we'll go into it. Vatanena Osam, so then Aros answered them, Vatamanan, they said, Yesh, there is. Hinei lefanecha, behold, he's before you. Maher ata, hurry now. Ki hayom bolayir, because today, the roe, today, the one who sees the future, today he came to the city. Ki zevach hayom la'om, there's a korban being brought by the people, baboma, on the mizbeach. There was an altar. In fact, we learned before that Shmuel had made a mizbeach by his house. That was the end of, the end of Perek Zion, Vayiven Shom Mizbeach Lashem. He had a mizbeach where he was. And they're making a zevach today for the people, baboma and the boma. Kivoachem ha'ir, when you come to the city, came Timtsuno, so you'll find him. B'terem yala ha'bamosa, before he goes up to the bama, lechel to eat. Ki layochal ha'amad bo, the people won't eat until he comes. Ki hu yivorech ha'zevach, because he's going to give a blessing on the carbon. Achrechen yochal ha'kruim, and then the people invited to this feast are going to eat. Va'at alu, and now go up. Ki oso chehayom timtsun oso. Because him, like today, you'll find him. It's a very, very verbose, a lot of words in these two psukim. The way the Malbim teaches it is beautiful. The way the Malbim emphasizes a lot of times throughout Navi, there's different ways of understanding the psukim. And the Metsudas a lot of times will bring down Kefel or Inyan B'milim Shonos, that sometimes the Pusik says the same idea in different words. In other words, it's sometimes it's poetic, it's more inspiring. You'll say the same idea in more than one way. The Malbim, though, says there's a message that's to be learned from every nuance and every little letter, and you can learn something from every phrase. So the beauty is when you take a Pusik like that and you think of it, like there's no way of understanding what's going on in these psukim. But the Malbim explains like this. Vatanena. The Noros, the girls answered, Oysam then. Vatamarna, and then afterwards they said whatever they said. But there's two parts to it. First they answered the question, Vatanena, and then they said what they were going to say. The first statement is, Yesh. You want to know, is the Roa here? Yesh, he is. The answer is, yeah, she is. That's the answer. That's Vatanena. What they said afterwards was what they said on their own. And their message was as follows. They said, Hinei lefonecha. He's here. Behold, he's here and he's before you. In other words, he's available to you. Maher atza. But right now you have to hurry. Now's the time and you have to hurry. That was their message. And now they're going to explain their message. What do I mean he's here now? Hinei lefanecha, he's here right now. The answer is ki hayom bo la'ir. We know Shmuel traveled all over. And when they asked Hayesh bo zeh haroe, could be they didn't even know. Maybe Shmuel's not home. Maybe he's not available. That's why they're asking, is Shmuel around? They answered ki hayom bo la'ir. He la'ir. He came to the city today. Now if somebody's traveling around and he comes back, the Gadol HaDor has been traveling around, he finally comes home. If you live in the city, and you can ask him tomorrow, you don't ask him the second he came back from an exhausting journey. He just came home, so let him rest a little. So the people in the city are not going to be coming to him, because they know Shmuel just came home, they're not going to come with their problems. So they'll speak to Shmuel another time. Ki zevach hayom lo'om baboma. There's a korban today for the people being brought on this Mizbeah. Meaning Shmuel must have announced beforehand, he's going to come back on this day, and everybody's invited to a special Suuda, and therefore they're all going to come. So, first of all, they're not going to bother Shmuel, because he just came back from the trip. Second of all, they're all busy preparing. Now, somebody's got to get the silverware, and the china, and the meat, and the food, that they have to prepare this banquet. Shmuel sent a message that it's going to be today. And we'll see later, Shmuel was told in advance by Hashem that today was the day he was going to meet Shaul. He was told that one day in advance, 24 hours before. So he must have sent the 24 hours ago. He sent the telegram, I'm coming back tomorrow, prepare a special Seuda, and so everyone's busy. Either they're not going to bother Shmuel or Kizevach Yom Lom Babam. But you have to hurry. Why do you have to hurry? Kivoachem Ho'ir. If you go right now, when you get to the city, Kain Timtsun Oisoi, you'll find him. If you go right now, you'll find him as soon as you get into the city. Beterem Yala HaBomosa Lechol. But it's got to be before he goes up to the Boma to eat. Once he goes by the Mizbeach, and they're going to bring Karbonos, they'll bring Shlomim, and you're allowed to eat Shlomim. And people are going to be eating it. But once the Seuda begins, he's not available. You can't walk over when he's in the middle of the Suda and people are there and then ask him your problems. You'll have to wait till the whole thing's over, and then after it's over, could be other people are going to want to speak to him. You'll miss your opportunity. You got to catch him before he goes up to the Bama. Is he going to say, well, maybe, who says he's going to go so quickly, I got to rush? Maybe he's also going slowly. You should know Shmuel is going to hurry. Ki lo yochal ha'om ad bo'o. Because people are not going to eat till he comes. And he's not the type to keep the olam waiting. If it's called for a certain time, and they're not eating till he comes, he will be there, or he'll be there. He knows they're waiting for him. Besides that, ki hu yivarech hazevach, he makes a blessing on the carbon. Meaning, there's a mitzvah to eat the carbon. Rashi brings down the posuk, brings down the bracha, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam asher kidishanu b'mitzvosav, lechol es hazevach. Yozi makayim a mitzvah d'oraisa, ba'bosar toichel, is a mitzvah to eat the meat of karbonos. That's a mitzvah. So kihu yivarech hazevach, he's going to make the blessing, so he's certainly gonna hurry. It's a mitzvah. Like you run to davening, he runs to for the mitzvah. Achrechen yochlo akruim, and then everybody who's called will eat. So if you better hurry. Time is of the essence. Va'ato alu, so now you should go up. Ki oso kehayom timtsu noisai. Because him, Shmuel, kehayom, like today, timtsu noisai. No, it's today you'll find him, and if you miss this opportunity, you'll have to wait. I don't know when he'll be available again. What's the Gemara learns out, actually, a different... Rashi brings down one shot. Kivoachem l'yir, when you come to the city, that they spoke a very long time in order to gaze at Shoal. The Gemara has three different explanations. The Gemara in Baruchas, and I think it's Mem Ches. The Gemara in Baruch says that there were different explanations. One explanation in Chazal is Noshim Dabronios Heim, that in general women talk. So he was very concise. Eish was a haraya. The other reason is that the derech is that they spoke a lot, and you should know the women should be very happy with these pesukim, because it's not chas v'shalom a put down or anything like that. If anything, you should, if ever a husband or whatever gets upset that the wife is talking too much, they can tell him that's the way it is. In other words, it's not them. That's human nature. That's their nature. That they speak long. So the fact that it's so long is not, especially once you see the Malbim, that the truth is what they said had a lot of, there was a lot of content there. But somehow it came out in a way, perhaps that's also a lesson. You know, sometimes the person's listening and he thinks they're just rambling on and on, but there's deeper meaning if they study it. But so they spoke at length. A second pshat in the Gemara is that, as Rashi brings down, they did a listakel biyofio shel shol. And our shol was just so unusual. He was so tall and he had the form. He looked royal. He didn't look like a regular person. And this is after traveling for 3 days and probably coming in dusty and hungry and weary, but he had such a royal resemblance. This certainly was not their derech. But it just, they sort of was stunned to see such a person. The third pshat in Chazal, in fact, the Medrash says, nah, it can't be that they look, that's not a proper thing to say that they were to look at him. But the third pshat brought down in Chazal, the Medrash Shmuel also discusses it, is that when Shaul meets Shmuel, we're going to see he's going to be chosen as the king. It wasn't yet time. It had to wait a few moments. So in the amount of seconds that it took them to take this, was min hashamayim the exact time that he should become the king. He had to be delayed for a few moments, because it wasn't time for him to become king. It's something to keep in mind. The next time you're caught in a traffic jam, or the next time you're waiting for something, it could be it's too early. You have to wait another minute or two till the right time. But we'll see what happens in Yirtzeh Hashem next week when Shaul meets Shmuel and how he's chosen to be king. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.